piped gas supply. So you are all the more dependent upon electricity. And so when load shedding began, I remember the hours of interrupted electricity supply where it became pretty challenging for our family. There was no stove, there was no oven, there was no microwave, no toaster. And this, with a family of little children, of babies and toddlers, proved particularly challenging to us, especially when there's no kettle to even make a cup of tea. Well, it was during those power outages that I was reminded how much of our lives revolved around electricity. It seemed like almost everything was plugged into the wall. And in today's passage, we look at something which every single person depends upon. Something which is essential to every single person. So let's take a look at Psalm 127. A psalm, if you're wondering, is basically a song of praise. And although there are quite a variety of songs that take that title, this particular song is called a wisdom psalm. These were the songs of ancient Israel. Now, this song is quite different for two reasons. Firstly, it was almost certainly written by Solomon, as we can see from the heading, the superscription. And secondly, it's called a wisdom psalm. Now, if you're wondering who Solomon was king of Israel from approximately 971 BC to 931 BC. And he only wrote two songs in this collection called the Book of Psalms. But his father, King David, wrote 73, which is almost half the collection. Now, King Solomon was widely regarded as the wisest man of his generation. And he even authored two books which are contained in the Bible, which are wisdom books. The first was called Proverbs and the second Ecclesiastes. And so it's not surprising that when he chooses to write a song to add to this collection, that it's a wisdom song. What is wisdom? How does the Bible define wisdom? Well, it's basically living well. It's living in God's world, God's way. Living in God's world, God's way. Well, what is Psalm 127 all about? It's about the Lord, which doesn't sound surprising because it comes from the Bible, but it is surprising because this psalm seems to be all about us. It's about what we build, what we protect, what we eat, how much we sleep, about what children we have. But in spite of all of that, this song is not about us. It's about the Lord. And the main point that Solomon is making in this song is that we are entirely dependent upon the Lord in everything that we do. We are entirely dependent upon the Lord in everything that we do. So let's read verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. There are two activities in that verse, aren't there? Building or guarding, construction and protection. And almost 3,000 years have passed since the writing of this song, but not a whole lot has changed, has it? We're still building houses. And Casey is a case in point. There are housing estates springing up all over the place. For example, you only need to, of course, drive down Clyde Road towards Cranbourne and witness house upon house upon house upon house being constructed. Deposits are paid. Plans are drawn up. Mortgages are acquired. Building contracts are signed seemingly every day. But Solomon informs us that without the Lord doing the construction, we can have all the money, all the plans, and all the resources to build the next Burj Khalifa, and we will not succeed. We are entirely dependent upon the Lord in everything that we do. Now, if anyone knew what he was talking about on this subject, then that was certainly King Solomon. Among many construction projects, and he must have been one of the greatest builders of his generation, Solomon built a grand royal palace for himself and the beautiful temple of God in Jerusalem. We're told that Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. And yet, despite all his building, despite all his construction, Solomon knew, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Now, we may not have the security challenges of a town in ancient Israel where raids or attacks were quite a common occurrence, but we still understand the value of having guards on duty, don't we? We don't make a whole lot of use of sentries in contemporary Australia, but surveillance cameras are ubiquitous. It doesn't matter where you go. If you look up, you'll find a camera. And there are still situations where we require armed guards, aren't there? Such as Parliament House. But Solomon tells us that without the protection of the Lord, well, we can place an entire army around Parliament House. We cannot save it from attack. King Solomon, again, was very well qualified to testify to this wisdom, because he had, after all, built a large part of the city of Jerusalem, and that included ample defenses around the city. And yet, only 400 years later, the city of Jerusalem was besieged by the Babylonians, attacked, and razed. So the point of verse 1 is quite clear, isn't it? We are entirely dependent upon the Lord in everything that we do. Regardless of whether we acknowledge his work or not, no building is built without the Lord, and no facility is secured without the Lord securing it. We read then in verse 2, "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." It's astonishing how contemporary those words are. Remember, those words were written 31 centuries ago, and yet it sounds like today. Solomon turns to the subject of whatever we do to put food on the table, to pay the bills. The spotlight is put on behaviors such as working overtime, working on public holidays, bringing your work home, working on your day off, and arriving at work early and leaving work late. And the wisdom that Solomon shares on this matter is really quite blunt, because he says, don't. Don't work extra hours. Why? Because the Lord provides the people that he loves with everything that they need. The Lord even gives his people the sleep that they need. So stop wasting your time working extra hours. Now, it goes without saying that Solomon is talking about needs and not wants. Solomon is not suggesting that if we work only the hours required by our contract, then the Lord will give us a life of luxury. No, he's promising that the Lord will meet our needs. It also goes without saying that Solomon is talking about working people, not loafers or freeloaders. Solomon is not suggesting that the Lord will provide our needs if we do not work to meet our needs. And in addition, it goes without saying that Solomon is talking about working people, not just salaried people. He's talking about working people. Solomon is not suggesting that this principle only applies to people who earn an income. This wisdom applies to those who work at home, without monetary compensation. And finally, it goes without saying that Solomon is talking about a principle, not a command. Solomon is not suggesting that it is sinful to work overtime. He is telling us that it is foolish to make a habit of working overtime. And so if your employer uncharacteristically asks you to work an hour extra, well, then wisdom suggests it might be worth doing. We are entirely dependent upon the Lord in everything that we do. Working extra hours is not needed to meet our needs. The Lord will provide his people with everything that they need. Well, the two English words that we hear three times in these opening verses are the words "in vain." Without the Lord, builders labor in vain. Watchmen guard in vain without the Lord. And we work in vain without the Lord. Well, it's not everyday Aussie lingo, is it? But it's pretty clear what "in vain" means. In vain means that there will be no result. In vain communicates that the activity is useless. It's fraught with hopelessness. And the point is, if the Lord is opposed to our activity or our project, then that activity or project will never, ever succeed. But if the Lord is in favor of any endeavor we take up, then that's guaranteed to succeed. We are entirely dependent upon the Lord in everything we do. So we read on in verses 3 to 5. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Well, how can Solomon do this? How can Solomon categorize having children with building houses and guarding cities and gaining food? Why does he do it? Well, for the reason that sons and daughters are a gift from the Lord. They are not a right. They are not a given. We are entirely dependent upon the Lord in everything we do, even in having children. I realize that that might obviously be a difficult subject for some because not everyone has children. Even with the incredible advances of medical science, having children is not a fait accompli. So it should be stressed that children are only one reward. That children are only one blessing from the Lord. There are many ways in which the Lord reveals his grace to his people. And children are not the greatest way in which God shows his favor. The greatest expression of God's favor to you and to me is the gift of God's Son, Jesus, and the redemption and reconciliation with God that we can have through him. But nevertheless, the wisdom of these verses still stands, doesn't it? Children are not a curse. They're a blessing. Children are not a punishment, even though they feel that way sometimes. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Parenting is a great challenge, but through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, having children teaches us sacrifice, doesn't it? Having children teaches us selflessness. It teaches us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And not only do we benefit from our children in their childhood, but we benefit from our children in our adulthood as well. Christ-like children are an asset in our senior years, aren't they? Never mind the delight that grandchildren might be, godly children are a help to us in our old age. When we need support, when we need care, when we need assistance, no one is better positioned to care for us than our children. And Solomon tells us, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. In other words, the more children, the merrier. And that wisdom is totally countercultural, isn't it? What about the cost of living? What about individual attention for each child? What about overpopulation? What about the environment? What about our lifestyle, our standard of living? What about our retirement? What about my beauty sleep? What about the man on the moon? Biblical wisdom is tireless, and this remains true today. Big families are a gift from the Lord. They're a gift from the Lord. And our forebears, our ancestors knew that, didn't they? They knew something that we don't know. They experienced a joy that we don't experience. So if you're young, marry young. Have children early and have lots of them. The blessing of children is expressed, though, in a much greater way, a much bigger way, a much more profound way. Because the blessing of children ultimately was expressed through the house that the Lord built for King David. In other words, the descendants that God gave King David. And that blessing began with his son, King Solomon, who wrote this song, but it culminated in Jesus, the son of David. Through Jesus, through his miraculous incarnation, through Jesus' loving life, through Jesus' supernatural ministry, through his sacrificial death, through his victorious resurrection, and through Jesus' present reign, each one of us can know ultimate blessing. We can have regeneration. We can have new life in God. We can have atonement, our sins addressed. We can have sanctification, made holy to God, set apart for him. We can be justified, declared righteous, even though we're guilty. We can be adopted into God's family. We can experience the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be friends with God. And we can have eternal life with God, all through the blessing of having a child, the son of David, Jesus Christ. But if we're going to know that blessing, if we're going to experience that, then we need to believe God's word in Psalm 127. And in order to enjoy this ultimate blessing that God offers us, we need to acknowledge the main point of this psalm. We need to admit that we are entirely dependent upon the Lord in everything that we do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wisdom that Solomon teaches us in Psalm 127. We thank you for this song which instructs us, which corrects us in our wrong thinking. And we pray that you would help us to leave behind foolishness, where we pretend that we are in control of everything, when in reality we depend entirely upon you for everything. So whether we build houses or protect cities or work for food on the table or have children or whatever part of our lives, Heavenly Father, help us to put our trust in you, to put you first. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.